Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. You got a one-man show getting you through this Friday. Of course, the boys behind the glass contributing. That's very welcomed throughout the show, so thank you to them. We're joined now by John Feinstein, best-selling author and Washington Post columnist. Brought to you by Golfdom. Golfdom can now custom fit you for the new GT Metals from Titleist or the new Apex Irons from Callaway today. You can visit them in Tysons, Rockville, or Annapolis to get your game ready for winter golf. Golfdom by Worldwide Golf. Get there. Good morning, John. How are you?
Well, good morning. I'm fine. I've never been on a one-man show before.
Yeah, here you have it. Junks have been on the air for almost like 28 plus years, and I think this is the first real one-man show we've done. So yeah, this is
the guy sick, or was this planned?
Well, it was a two-man show with JP and I, or JP and me. I can never remember which way to say that correctly.
Me neither.
But JP got sick, so here we are at this point.
Here we are.
Yep.
Well, let's do it.
Let's do it. So we just got off with a bunch of listeners talking about, what is their concern level for Cliff Kingsbury potentially leaving the Commanders after 1 year as the OC? And he's done a remarkable job. I mean, this team is, you know, scoring nearly 29 points per game. Look at what Jaden Daniels has done as a rookie. So there's some hand-wringing from some of the fan base, but some of the callers are like, you know what? It doesn't matter. As long as Jaden Daniels is there doing his thing, it doesn't matter who the OC is. Where do you come down on that as far as Cliff potentially leaving?
Well, I think it would be too bad if Kingsbury left, but, you know, successful coordinators tend to get hired. I mean, he was not completely unsuccessful as a head coach. He tended to do very well the first half of the season and then do not very well the second half of the season. But I think there's a decent chance someone will give him a shot. There's going to be like seven or eight openings.
Mm-hmm.
But I tend to lean toward you or I could be the offensive coordinator. And as long as Jaden Daniels is there, the Commanders will be just fine. Excuse me. I'm having trouble with my coffee going down here. I'm in the Jaden Daniels is a star camp, and he's going to be a star no matter who the offensive coordinator is. It'd be better if Kingsbury stayed, obviously, because they've had a year together. But I've said this to you, I think, since August,
mm-hmm.
that I thought Jaden Daniels was going to be a star, and he's proven to be a star.
And one of the great things about him just being so impressive and being a star is that he's not doing it with the diva label and tag that
right.
that Robert had, obviously, when he was here. Like, he almost seems like too good to be true. Like, he's so good at what he does on the field, and like off the field, he handles himself like a 10-year veteran. But he's just a kid, you know. Like that to me, that's one of the more impressive things about his skill set, is his poise, his maturity, not only on the field but off too.
Yeah, well, I think he's 24, I believe, and, you know, played at three different schools, played for 5 years. I think that's been one of the big differences between him and Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams was a diva in college, only played 3 years, which is the minimum you can play. And I think the two-year difference, plus differences in their personalities, obviously, has made a big difference. I mean, you could see it with Jaden Daniels the day he arrived at camp. He was like, okay, let's get to work. I'm here. I'm ready to go. And he's been that way ever since. And he has the clutch factor. You know, you put him in the final minutes of a close game like last week, and he's going to make plays. He is a playmaker in the clutch.
Joined by John Feinstein, best-selling author and Washington Post columnist. He's brought to you by Golfdom. So you touched on all the openings that are going to be available, probably 6, 7, maybe even 8 jobs. It seems to be the norm now in the NFL. One of those jobs is the Jets' job, and we saw that Ron Rivera, the former Commanders coach, got an interview with the Jets. Do you think Ron could potentially succeed with the Jets just being a coach? Like, I think he was overwhelmed here by having to do everything. He had to coach and do – he had to be the PR guy. He had to be the guy who picked the players. He had so much on his plate. Do you think he could succeed with the Jets? I don't know if I do, because it would almost be similar to his talent spot here on the roster, because – he'd be inheriting a team with an old quarterback that you don't even know is going to be there next year in Aaron Rodgers. Like, he never could get quarterback right here. Like, could he succeed in New York with all the flaws going on with that organization?
Well, I'm not sure Vince Lombardi could succeed with the Jets at this point. I mean, they are such a mess in every way. I mean, they've got to cut ties with Aaron Rodgers. They've just got to come out after this week and say, Aaron, thanks for all your efforts. We appreciate it. See ya. And if Rodgers wants to try to go play somewhere, fine. Go play somewhere. I can't imagine anybody who would want him, especially for the money that he would demand. The Jets have to get a new general manager. They could use a new owner. That would be a good place to start. I mean, they're just a mess. And I'm not sure Ron Rivera is the guy to clean up that kind of mess. I mean, you could walk in someplace where the situation is decent and do okay. He certainly did okay coaching in Carolina when he was just the coach. So maybe if circumstances were right somewhere, Jets, anybody else, he could succeed. But I don't see him or anybody else succeeding with the current Jets situation. It's just a total disaster.
Hey, John, getting back to the Commanders for just a second, can you even really fathom the paradigm shift and the cultural change that's happened in a year and a half with Snyder and the black cloud over him departing and Harris coming in with Quinn and Peters and drafting Daniels, and just the transformation of a franchise? Like, I'm shocked that they are where they are at this point, qualifying for the playoffs. They're way ahead of schedule because Jaden is so good, but like, for it to happen so quickly, are you surprised by the turnaround?
Well, a little surprised in this sense. A few of their wins that have the luck factor has come into play. I mean, they're 11-5. They could easily be 8-8. And if they were 8-8, we'd be saying, well, they're on schedule. You know, Jaden's good, and the team is making correct decisions. See, that's the biggest difference. Is you've got someone in charge in Adam Peters who knows what he's doing.
Right.
Who has experience at other successful clubs and who, you know, has made the right decisions. The key one, obviously, being drafting Jaden Daniels. But they've made the right decisions. They've put a good coach in place. I wasn't that enthused about the hiring of the coach. I was like, well, he kind of flailed out in Atlanta and did fine as a coordinator in Dallas. But the fact is, he was successful in Atlanta. I mean, he was a couple of plays from winning the Super Bowl in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And he'd probably still be in Atlanta if they'd won that Super Bowl. And I've been impressed with him. I for some reason, I'm in the car a lot on Tuesdays, and I listen to his press conferences, and I love the way he handles it. He uses everybody's name. Mm-hmm. He makes the reporters feel at ease. That's a skill. I mean, you know, if you're Bill Belichick, you can get away with being a jerk in press conferences. But if you're not, it actually makes a difference if you address people by name and show respect for them. And you know, he has the very good habit of saying, that's a good question, which is a smart thing to do in any press conference situation. I've just been very, very impressed by Dan Quinn.
John, let's shift over to the college football playoff. We're down to the final four now. We saw what Texas did to advance. They'll face Ohio State. Ohio State just manhandled Oregon And Notre Dame, very impressive yesterday against Georgia. They're going to face off with Penn State. Do you like this Final Four? Do you? I think it's refreshing that Bama's not there this year. There's no Georgia in the Final Four. You've got some fresh blood. What do you think about this Final Four matchup? Texas, Ohio State, Penn State, Notre Dame.
Yeah, there is definitely some fresh blood going away from Alabama and Georgia and the dominance of the Southeastern Conference. But, you know, it's still power schools. It's still schools that can spend a lot of money on building their roster. I mean, you know, Ohio State's gotten a lot of publicity for the $20 million roster. These other three schools have spent plenty, too. Notre Dame goes out and rents a quarterback every year. They've got fifth and sixth year players. What I don't understand about Notre Dame is how the hell they managed to lose to Northern Illinois. Because I think they're the best team. I think they have the most talent on both sides of the football. They're very well coached by Marvin Freeman, who is emerging as one of the better coaches in college football. But yeah, it's different. It's not the Southeast Conference versus the Southeast Conference again. And I'm curious to see how Penn State does since they finally won a couple of big games under James Franklin. It should be entertaining. But it's worth noting that out of the eight games so far, only one has been a good game. The Peach Bowl was a great game between Arizona State and Arizona State lose to Texas.
Yeah.
That's the only game that's really been competitive. I mean, Notre Dame, Georgia, it was basically over at halftime after that sprint by Notre Dame at the end of the half. I mean, and then they returned the opening kickoff in the second half and led 20-3.
Yep.
So it's been interesting to watch because it's new. It's been fun to watch because more teams are involved. I think they should go to 16 and get rid of byes. The games themselves have not exactly been gut-wrenching.
John, let's close out with the Washington Capitals. Ovi scores again last night. He's on fire coming out of his injury break. I think he was gone for 5.5 weeks. Goals in 3 of the 4 games back since returning from that leg injury. And I tell people, like, this is greatness. Appreciate it. Go see him while you still can. Like, go see him at Capital One Arena, because we don't know how many more games he's going to play. Like, he's obviously going to break Gretzky's record. He's going to get that record. But we don't know how much longer he's going to continue at this pace. Go see Alex Ovechkin wherever you can. If not at Capital One Arena, go catch a road game, because you're watching the greatest goal scorer in the history of the league still performing. I mean, he missed a bunch of games, and he's still on pace for 54 goals. I mean, it's remarkable.
Yeah, and this has been as amazing a season as he's had in the last 5, because like you said, even with the missed 5.5 weeks, he's on pace to score 50-plus goals. That's just extraordinary for anybody, much less a guy who's 38. And he's in great shape, and he comes to play every night, which he always has. That's been part of his greatness. He doesn't take nights off. And and the Caps are in position to have a very special season, I think. I love watching them play. I mean, enjoyed watching them play without Ovechkin. Fortunately, I get Monumental down here, so I can watch all the games. He's extraordinary. He really is. In the mid part of his career, it looked like he was just going to be a very good player. But he's become truly great, truly great.
John, thank you as always for the time. Hope you have a great weekend, and hope the next time that you join us, there's going to be more than one junk on the show.
Yeah, and I hope you get some rest after today.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You too, man. have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.
You too. Talk to you next week.
Yep, that's John Feinstein, bestselling author and Washington Post columnist. He's brought to you by Golfdom. Golfdom can now custom fit you for the new GT Metals from Titleist or the new Apex Irons from Callaway. Today, visit them in Tysons, Rockville, or Annapolis. Get your game ready for winter golf. Golfdom by Worldwide Golf. get there. We will do Cakes' entertainment page when we come back. In case you're just tuning in or just watching on Monumental Sports right now, Monumental Sports Network, it's a one-man show. JP is sick. It was supposed to be a two-man show. You know how we do it during the holidays. Rotating two-man shows is the norm. JP ill. So it's your pal Cakes. It's the boys behind the glass. It's basically, it's a hybrid of the Junks and Bit season. So you're welcome. Here it is. It's something new for you in 2025. All right, we're going to get into the entertainment page. That's brought to you by BMW of Fairfax, DC's only BMW Center of Excellence Award winner for the ultimate buying experience on your ultimate driving machine. Get over to BMW of Fairfax and ask for EB's girl, Miriam, the general manager, or check them out at BMWofFairfax.com. That's where you check them out online. Before we get into the first story, I think I would be remiss if I didn't at least throw it out there. Like, hasn't one of our very good listeners, don't they usually take care of us sometimes when there's like two-man shows, when it comes to breakfast, they might swing by with a breakfast. Today might be worthy of like swinging by with like an omelet man or like a waffle maker or something.
I didn't think of that, Cake.
You know what I mean? Like maybe that could happen this last hour and 40-ish minutes of the show. I'm just
sorry.
No, I'm not.
We should have made calls earlier.
I'm not blaming. We apologize. Nobody is to blame. I'm just putting it out into the universe. That's all I'm doing. Time for me to regale you with entertainment page stories. Here's the lead. And this might be the only story we do. A husband has gone viral, much like Valdez and Drab went viral for Drab talking from no from the co or a co from the no. Yesterday, husband has gone viral for leaving his wife of 10 years after she jumped into the arms of a Latin singer on stage at his concert. And this is what it says in the headline, with her ass hanging out. That is your headline. I've never heard of this group, but it's a Latin group, Aventura. I guess they're performing in the Dominican Republic. I guess they're wildly popular in the Latin music world. JP's probably seen them live at some point. So they're performing. This married woman, her name is Miriam Cruz. She's obviously a big P1 mega fan of this Latin music group. So she gets invited to come up on stage. Now, this is the first warning sign. The lead singer's name in the band, his name is Romeo Santos. Any guy with the first name Romeo that's in a band, I mean, you just know that guy's, he's just a smooth dude. He has to be, right? He's fronting a Latin music band. His name's Romeo. He's driving the crowd wild. So your wife is going to go up on stage with this guy.
All right.
Okay.
So the wife is very attractive.
Okay.
She's wearing a tiny skirt. She's a beautiful Latina.
Mm-hmm.
The guy, Romeo Santos, he's sexy.
I mean, sight unseen, I just figured he's got sexy guy.
He's got 20.
Like a telenovela.
He's got 23 million Instagram followers.
Wow, that's
every
a lot.
Single comment on these is from beautiful women professing their love to him.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
And she's even one of them. I'm going through all his posts here, Cakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She posted this wife. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. This is Miriam Cruz.
Miriam Cruz, like, she leaves comments on this guy's page.
Okay.
I'm looking at one from 10 weeks ago.
Big Corazon.
My love, I adore you a lot. I'm waiting for you. Now, that's the Spanish to English translation.
Right. Yeah.
So, but I'm guessing it's pretty much
Linda
the gist of it.
Spanish.
Give us a Spanish. Can you give it to us in Spanish?
Okay. Amor, te adoro un mundo y aquí estoy esperando fecha.
Doesn't quite sound like a romance language when it's coming out of draft from your mouth. But I appreciate
from my thick Irish tongue.
I appreciate the effort. So she goes on stage with Romeo Santos and she starts making out with the dude on stage. So it definitely caused issues with her husband. So she went onto her Instagram account. She said, quote, I don't know where to start, but I want to share how happy I feel for having achieved this long-awaited dream, one that I imagined for years, both awake and asleep. For me, it's not just about admiring the artist, but also about valuing the great human being that he is. I have followed and admired him for a long time. So she added that after her husband saw how she acted with the singer, he made the decision to end their marriage. He just pulled the plug and said, I just can't have it. She said, quote, I have to acknowledge that this achievement came at a very high cost, the breakup of my 10-year marriage. Although at the time I didn't think about the consequences, I recognized that I let myself be carried away by nerves and excitement without considering how this could affect my family. So this dude, Romeo Santos, he's a homewrecker.
He didn't do anything. He just kind of was sitting down on this little stoop thing, and she came up and like threw herself on him and started kissing him all over his lips and cheeks and stuff.
Yeah, but let me ask, he didn't go.
He really didn't do anything.
Okay, how did she gain access to the stage? Was she like a VIP or something, and was just up there? Or?
I think he was calling people up because she had a microphone.
Okay, all right. So he was calling. Select people out of the audience. That's what it looked like to me. Okay.
You know what this tells me? There's no such thing as a hall pass in the Latin community.
I guess not. I guess it's not a thing.
Latin machismo, you're not putting up with your wife smooching all over another guy.
Yeah,
and you know, good for him.
Especially it's all over the world. Like everybody's seeing it. It's not like it happened at some rinky-dink club that holds 50 people. I'm assuming this is in a big arena.
Probably a huge venue.
I mean, it's all over Twitter. It's all over the interwebs. Like
he was embarrassed.
Yeah,
his wife embarrassed him. I will say
he got cucked internationally.
He did international cuck. Hey, I will say,
poor guy.
If I was the husband, I would be much 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 more upset if she threw panties or a bra on stage as opposed to running on stage and trying to smooch the artist.
Hmm.
Like at the Drake concerts,
yeah,
when those busty women are throwing their double G bras on stage, that would tilt me a lot more than running up and trying to kiss them.
I think I'd be more offended if my wife went up and was making out with the dude. Like if she wants to throw her panties, go like I. Probably not gonna have a big issue with it.
What are you gonna do at the next H Festival when Amy runs up on stage with Mark McGrath and his spiky hair and she throws herself at him and starts making out with him?
And frosted tips all over the place.
And you're just sitting there in the front row watching all this.
Man,
what would you do?
I know that we've discussed this many times. I mean. I don't know. Would I just grant her a hall pass? Would I just say it's temporary insanity? Like, this is the guy that she's lusted over for 30 years and she finally gets her crack? I don't know. I don't know how I would react.
I probably wouldn't
be happy.
Not only that, she makes out with him, but then she comes out with the worst apology in history and says that she's been dreaming about this all her life.
Awake and asleep. Yeah. And asleep. Yeah. She threw that in there.
Awake and asleep. Yeah. Day and night dreaming.
Yeah, like she's literally obsessed with the guy. Like, I don't think my wife would be overcome with the emotion and would start just, like, making out with Mark McGrath. I don't think that would happen. But, hey, you never know what could happen in the throes of passion. I think she would hold off, but I think she would be tempted.
I'm with the husband.
Yeah, I mean, like,
lady, you got children. What are you doing?
Yeah, you have a family.
You've been married. What are you doing?
You have a family. Like, I mean, this is something like if you're 18 or 20 that you might do. But I'm assuming this woman's probably in her 30s, mid-30s. I have no idea.
She's definitely hot.
Okay, but, like, this seems like something you would do when you're 20 years old. Not when you're 30. I'm going to say she's 35 with two kids.
The music moves her too much.
The music does definitely move her.
Hey, doesn't Valdez go to these Latin concerts all the time? What's the vibe like there? What's going on in this thing?
I've been to Bad Bunny this past year. I am a Latin concert aficionado. I go.
Yeah, Jim Van Stone knows.
I go to Carlos Vives.
What's happened?
Jack's wife, Wacky Jackie, my best friend. She's Costa Rican. I'm telling you, these concerts, They're wild.
I'm sure they are. Right. It sounds wild.
It might as well be a strip club.
Okay.
Women are walking around this thing with their asses hanging out of their dresses.
Yeah, that's what it said on the headline.
the lowest cut tops.
Yeah.
The women there are wearing dresses that are maybe one or two sizes too small.
Scandalous.
To accentuate their curves.
Right.
A lot of drinking at those concerts, too.
I would imagine.
I'm guaranteeing this woman, she probably had a half a bottle of Patron before she went on stage to Professor Love.
Hey, I'm letting you guys know right now.
Yeah.
I'm calling dibs on the Aventura tickets when they come to Capitol. I got to check out the scene of all these horny women out there. Willing to throw away marriages.
It sounds like if Aventura, this Latin group, if they came here, like that's the size room they would play, right? Like, they're obviously
huge. Yeah, they would play Cap One.
It's a big room. It's a big one.
Let me find out here. It says they were here in May.
Okay.
I don't know where they played though. Hold on.
If I had a dollar for every woman I saw walking around with those. Yards full of margaritas that you would see on the Las Vegas Strip.
They're probably so delicious, too.
During a Bad Bunny concert,
yeah.
I'd be a rich man.
I'm sure you would.
Yeah. They played at Capital One Arena.
Yeah.
Good.
Probably had a bunch of married women up there smooching the lead singer.
Jack's probably going to text me to say, don't get those tickets.
Yeah. Stay far away.
Get the back row seat.
All right, so that was a wild story. That was the first most viral thing that was going around yesterday, closely followed by Drab T-Shirt's rant against our caller, which we all loved and appreciated. The first season of Squid Game is the biggest show in Netflix's history. Season 2 shaping up to be just as big. The Korean hit drew a record high number of views over its opening weekend. The streamer says internal figures from Netflix show Squid Game Season 2 racking up 68 million views worldwide in the 4 days after its December 26th premiere. That smashes the previous week one record set by Wednesday in November of 2022. The show's first 4 days of release have already put Season 2 on Netflix's all-time top 10 for non-English language series. Currently ranks 7th. Another week of viewing is likely going to move Squid Game Season 2 into second place on the list. I've watched one episode.
Are you a subtitle or dubbed guy?
Oh, I'm 1,000% subtitles. I can't do the dubbed English version. You?
I do the dubbed English
you
version.
You do?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
This is shocking news. Mike Marr?
I do the dubbed, no doubt. Because then you can go on your phone a little bit. You don't have to be so locked in. I'm not trying to read a book out here. I'm just trying to, watch the show.
So you're hearing bad dubbed English of Squid Game Season 2.
I am.
Man, that concept is foreign to this guy.
When they put 20 billion won in that big piggy bank, I'm watching in English.
Now I need to listen. Callers, if you're watching Squid Game, and apparently you are because the numbers are crazy on Netflix, are you a subtitles guy like Flakes, or are you a dubbed English guy or girl like Valdez and Mike Marr? 800-636-1067. I cannot believe you guys are listening to bad dubbed English of Squid Game.
I'm sorry, Cakes.
This is a showstopper.
The majority of my reading only comes on the beach.
I understand. And look, I'm older than you. I have tinnitus. I have a constant ringing in my ears. So I need the subtitles a little bit more than you guys, obviously. But I thought with like foreign fare like Squid Game, which is done entirely in Korean, that most, if not everybody, did the subtitles.
So you're like a super fast reader, or do you ever have to go back and be like, oh, damn, I missed that. I need to reread it.
It augments what's happening on the screen. Like I can keep up like the subtitles are paced like perfectly. At least for me they are. I don't have to like hit rewind all the time.
I will say it is a slower paced dialogue show.
Yeah.
So there are gaps. for a lot of the slow readers out there.
Yeah.
You might need hooked on phonics or something.
Drabby, you missed this. Like, these two donks are using the dubbed English version of Squid Game instead of subtitles. Where would you weigh in? Would you be a subtitles guy, or would you listen to bad dubbed English over the Korean?
I think I watched the English version.
You did? I'm in the minority here. I'm the only guy with the subtitles.
Reading overrated.
I mean, you really got to lock in. I got a hard enough time not looking at my phone.
I know. We have no attention spans.
I mean, you got two kids running around. I can understand.
I would watch it after they go to bed, but I don't. I'm not a big subtitle. I like subtitles while they're speaking English.
Okay.
Like a double dip to help me extra focus.
Yeah, okay.
But I don't want to watch a Korean show.
Wow. This is stunning to me. I need listener input. 800-636-1067. Are you a dubbed English or are you a subtitles person? I'm apparently an alien here. I'm the only guy reading the subtitles for Squid Game Season 2. But it is crushing on Netflix. I mean, the numbers from the first few days, really impressive. And it sounds like Season 3 is going to follow up Season 2 relatively quickly. I don't have a release date on it yet, but it looks like Season 3, obviously they're going to do a Season 3. It's a huge success. All right, let's go to Marcus. He is on line one. Marcus, you're on with Cakes from the Junks. Good morning. Are you a subtitles guy or dubbed English guy?
Oh, straight subtitles. The English version, it just takes away the authenticity of it. And it's Squid Games, and as well as, I don't know if you guys watched Money Heist. It's in Spanish, and that's another one. I had to do the subtitles. I can't do the dubbed English version. It's silly to me. It takes away the authenticity of it to me.
Authenticity? They're playing Red Light, Green Light, and getting shot.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I just said, I like hearing the, I mean, I, of course, I don't know what they're saying, but it sounds cool. I feel like I'm there with them. But if it's dubbed English, it's just like, I don't know. It's like a video game.
I hear you, Mark. I'm with you, Marcus. You're my guy.
Thank you for the call.
All right, let's go to Isaac. Isaac, you're on with the Junks. Good morning.
Hey. I just wanted to say, I don't know how you guys do it with the English dub. I mean, you lose so much of the raw emotion. I mean, you got these B-tier American English guys in there, it feels too corny. You guys got to learn how to read.
Yeah, it's a great point, Isaac. Thank you. Yes, you guys do need to learn how to freaking read. Hey,
when I graduated Maryland, I put all my reading behind me.
Right.
Yeah. I left reading in 2024.
Right. It's just so passe. Reading is dumb. All right, let's go to Cindy. She wants to weigh in. Cindy, you're on with the Junks. Good morning.
Good morning, Cakes. Thanks for taking the show, man.
Sure, no problem.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Definitely subtitles. Because the dubbing, the voices are stupid. Like, they don't even seem like the voices match the person. And then the lips don't match. It drives me crazy.
Yeah.
So definitely subtitles.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Cindy.
Thanks.
Thank you. Team subtitles seems to be winning out. Let's sneak in Francine. I believe she was at our holiday show. What's up, Francine? Good morning.
Hi, Cakes. I sure was. How you doing?
Good.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Yes, I am definitely with you. Give me the subtitles. I watch a lot of anime with my son, and I've just gotten used to the subtitles.
Yeah, well, Valdez watches very naughty anime. He's told
whatever.
That's, I'm kidding. I'm lashing out at Valdez. That's totally unfounded.
That's libel right there.
Oh, that's funny.
Thank you, Francine.
Yeah, you are not the alien. It's the way to go.
Excellent, excellent. I'm glad you're Team Cakes on that one. Thank you for the call. All right, so I think it was pretty split. Early, it seemed like a lot of English dubbed, and then Team Subtitle took the lead back relatively late. All right, coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll be joined by Scott Abraham. We'll talk about the looming Commanders Cowboys season finale with him. That's coming up at 9 a.m. here on The Fan. Reminder, you can join your fave host from 106.7 The Fan for a special live show. The date, January 31st, the Tally Ho Theater. We're going to be there. B. Mitch and Finley, Grant and Danny. It's going to be a totally uncensored discussion of DC sports, behind the scenes, shenanigans of working in radio, and much, much more. You can hang out with your favorite radio host for a night of sports laughs, and fun, too. Tickets are on sale now at tallyhotheater.com. That is Friday, January 31st. By the way, on Friday, January 17th, you think this isn't right up my alley, Valdez? Friday, January 17th at the Tally Ho, Girlfriend in a Coma, a tribute to Morrissey and the Smiths. Oh, that's probably amazing. I might have to go. So that's the Tally Ho Theater. We're going to be there on the 31st. So please get your tickets now. All right. During the break, I placed a crisp, clean $1 bill in the studio where the producers are, right between Drab and Valdez. Mike Marr is not eligible for this dollar because I'm going to ask Valdez and Drab how much they think I spent on one single can of Zins, which was part of Mike Marr's Christmas gift that I gave him earlier in the show today. I bought this, I think it was Spearmint, 6 milligram Zins.
Oh, those are the big
one
boys.
One canister of the heavy duty boys.
And that's gold these days. I mean, I was telling you when you came in, I mean, haven't been able to find those for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. So I found these, by the way, on my way to MGM National Harbor. I figured that Sunoco slash McDonald's, like in between the casino and National Harbor, might have what I was looking for. And it was, like you said, it was a Zin gold mine. There were a million tins of them at that Sunoco. So anytime you're on the hunt, you're running low, that's a good spot for you.
All right. Well, don't take this as gospel, but I think tobacco products are pricier in Maryland than Virginia.
Okay.
That's something that I've noticed.
All right.
And it's one, correct? There was no like buy two, get.
No, it's just one single canister of those pouches, the nicotine pouches.
See, I have some frame of reference because I use nicotine products.
I think you're the favorite here. You're the odds on fave. You're like -135 here.
But I'm unfamiliar with the Zins and how much they go for, especially in Maryland as opposed to Virginia. So I'm gonna guess you got gouged for $9.36.
$9.36 is Valdez's guess. All right, Drab T-shirt, what is your guess as to the price of one canister of Zin Spearmint 6 milligram? Whoever gets closest wins.
I don't even. I have literally no idea what they cost in Virginia, DC. I've never bought a can.
Right.
I'd say maybe around the price of cigarettes, which are about $10.
Okay.
I'll say $11.15.
$11.15. That is Drab T-shirts.
It's like
guess.
Price is Right. Should I get the yodel music?
Play the mountain climber music. Mike Marr, how many pouches or I don't even know. Is it a pouch?
Yes.
How many are in a single can?
15.
Okay, so 15 per can. Drab's guess is $11.15. Valdez, $9.36. The winner here, closest to, because you both went over slightly. Valdez wins $8.39 for a pack of Zins.
I was off by...
You're off by like a dollar.
Yeah, a little less than a dollar.
Both of you are pretty close. I'm just stunned. I'm stunned at what they can charge to wean people off nicotine and smoking. Like, I guess it's better health-wise than smoking. Let's just be totally honest. But almost $10 for a canister? Somebody's getting filthy rich. Like, rich, rich, rich.
Yeah, I mean, Philip Morris is.
Philip Morris, whoever, Altria, whoever's putting out this product.
You're just learning. You can start charge whatever you want for habit-forming.
I guess my eyes have officially been opened. Like, I knew cigarettes are expensive. I didn't know cigarette replacements were basically as expensive.
I don't necessarily know that it's a replacement. It's more of an alternative.
Okay. That makes sense.
People get psyched for nicotine. I don't know what to tell you.
People love them some nicotine. There's no doubt about it.
I saw this on Reddit, I think, last night. I didn't know this was a thing. Maybe it was like on the main page, but it was on the Vegas subreddit. Somehow I get, I don't know, posts from the Vegas subreddit. Okay. But this person said, this is a bunch of crap. I just got charged $400 for vaping in my hotel room.
Okay.
But they apparently have sensors now in hotel rooms that are just like smoke detectors that can detect vaping.
Hmm, okay.
And if you vape in a hotel room, they'll just hit you with a $400 charge at checkout. The guy said it was a comped room.
Okay.
And so he went to, you know, just check out or whatever, or they slid the bill under his door, and it was a $400 fee.
Is vaping like
Put it in the same category as smoking.
So it's off limits. So you just can't go into a hotel room and vape.
But, I mean, aren't the casinos in Vegas just filled with people smoking?
You know what? I haven't been to a Vegas casino since I went to the Aria with my wife like six or 7 years, and however long ago that was.
And isn't vape odorless? Because you wouldn't be able to make the claim that you're fumigating the room. Yeah. And it's a fumigation charge.
It's not odorless because a lot of times it smells like sweet berries or whatever they're vaping. But I don't think it lingers. I have no idea.
Not like cigarettes.
I don't know. Why are we not encouraging vaping? Maybe I'm just so stupid, but why are we that's a great alternative. Is it perfect? Absolutely not. But it's a lot better than smoking 20 cancer sticks a day.
Yeah.
Is it not?
But there have to be like health ramifications for vaping too, right?
I'm sure your lungs don't look silly.
Yeah, I'm sure they're not great.
I mean, all it is vegetable oil and flavoring, I think, and nicotine.
I don't even know how vaping works. Like, I'm so dumb when
it comes to vaping. I think it's just oil and nicotine and some sort of flavoring.
Who knew Drab ripped fat clouds?
No, but
Drab's a vapor.
My wife,
are you a vapor?
My wife vapes.
Ah, okay, so that's why he knows.
Yeah. But it's better than her smoking cigarettes, the American Spirit Yellow Box.
So now we know that your wife vapes. Does she go outside to vape? She vape in the house? Like, what's the setup?
It's just a big poof of smoke in my house all the time. It wrecks me.
Hey, I don't want to be known as the white trash person on the show. Drab has a house full of vape smoke.
This is a new revelation. Yeah, yeah. I didn't know this.
It's not even the house that's an issue. When we're in the car together.
Hey.
And I'm right next to her. And
I'm not going to throw stones in a glass house. I used to smoke death sticks for years. So if vaping helps Sarah not smoke cigarettes, then that's a good thing.
Yeah, it doesn't really bother me. It's kind of embarrassing, kind of trashy, but way better than smoking
definitely,
cigarettes.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah. I was surprised that JP said a bunch of the people at his New Year's Eve party were ripping heaters
putting everyone's business out there.
I was like, what? I was like, it didn't seem like a crowd or a bunch of people were going to go out and just be puffing on Marlboro Reds like Mike Marr wanted to at the Purple Heart Open.
Drab's the only townhome in Aldi that has smoke coming out of it without a chimney.
Yeah. I did tell you that when I went to Spain this past year, that when I came back, I wanted to start smoking because everybody over there was doing it. Just seemed so cool. Huh?
Yeah. great habit to take up in your 40s. Smoking. It's a good one. All right, when we come back, we will get into Commanders Cowboys. Scott Abraham, anchor and sports director for ABC7. He'll join the show next here on The Fan.